Our first reading is from 19th chapter of Leviticus. The Lord said to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall each revere your mother and father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make cast images for yourselves. I am the Lord your God.'" And continuing on at verse 15, "You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall not reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord."
Second reading is from the New Testament, Matthew. It's called The Greatest Commandment. It's chapter 22, verse 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Bob. Very simple worship service this morning. A very simple sermon and message. Some would argue a very simple pastor. So. I want to focus on one line from each of the readings today. Just one line. And first of all, from the gospel reading. A second is like it. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. It's the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And from Leviticus, God says, "Speak to all the congregation and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" Now the sermon title, as you already know, is Living God, not the living God. We do have the living God. God is alive and well and working in our world. But living God, you and me, living in such a way that God's will lives through us. Living, verb, living as God would have us live. It says in Leviticus that we'll be holy. We're expected to be holy, for God is holy. What is holiness? This is for all of you to answer right now. What is holiness to you? What do you think of when you think of holiness? Anybody? Someone who forgives. Yeah, to forgive is divine. Holiness. Someone who forgives. Anything else? When you think of holy, what enters your mind? You hear that, Jeannie? She's cringing back there. Yeah. You think of someone who's after God's own heart? When I think of holy, I think of the kind of person that I see their response to a situation, and I think to myself, would I respond that quickly that way? You know, would that be my first response? Or would that be my second response after my first response got out of the way? You know, a holy person. Jesus, obviously, is the perfect example of holiness. Someone who answered a slap in the face by turning the other cheek. Someone who cared more about the soul and the condition of the soul of the other than about their own well-being. Holy. Someone who makes you feel at peace and accepted. You've probably had the experience of being in a room that was rattled and frazzled, and someone walks into the room and it's not rattled and frazzled anymore. Someone walks into the room and just their presence brings a sense of peace and well-being, holiness. And God said, right at the beginning, they're not even in the promised land yet. They're in the middle of the desert. They've messed up 100 different ways already. And God says, all of you are to be holy. All of you are to be the kind of people that people will see me shining through in, God says. God says, all of you will be the kind of people that bring peace with you into a room and forgiveness and love. All of you are built for this. All of you. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a wonderful, wonderful thought. And love can mean so many different things. But the best form of love is an active sort of love, isn't it? You know the kind of love you mean. Hopefully you had someone in your life. I had many people in my life who loved me in an active way. I can think of a bunch off the top of my head that were there in the neighborhood or are there at the family gathering. I think of my Uncle Kenny. He's always interested in what I was doing. And trust me, in West Bloomfield, New York as a kid, I wasn't doing much. But always interested, always active. My parents, very active in their love for me. I don't think my dad ever missed a single event or thing I ever did, both good and bad. I would have loved to have him miss a couple of the bad ones, but that was part of love too. Now, in Jesus, when the Pharisees question him, sums up all of Scripture with two simple commandments. And the first one is love the God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. Some other readings add strength. Everything you got. Love God with everything you got. That's a wonderful thought. I think back to my childhood, mostly on Guy Ball's land down the road here, and with his sons, Jeff, Andy, and Keith, and I kicked around quite a bit together. And Andy, the middle son, who was always a bundle of energy, we would be doing something, and I think Andy kind of had in his mind that he was some kind of superhero. And when the chips were down, he would put his fingers on his temple and he would say with his eyes closed, "Engerney, Engerney, 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 Engerney." It's, you'd all know what Engerney is, right? Engerney. Engerney is that, how do you describe it? Engerney is a 7 or 8 year old kid who believes with all his heart and soul that there's an extra strength somewhere inside him that he can just call out, "Engerney, Engerney, Engerney," and he can run faster, he can jump higher, he can get done what needs to get done. And I named our sermon Living God rather than Engerney because none of you would know what I was talking about except for Andy Ball. But that's what we're talking about here. God and Jesus both tell us in today's readings, you need Engerney. You need to have faith that there's something inside you that God has planted inside you that will make you holy, will help you to love God, and will help you to help your neighbor. Jesus goes so far as to say that loving your neighbor is like loving God. Now think about that for a second. What's the best way to show that you love God? By loving your neighbor? How are you loving God when you're loving that idiot down the road? How can that be? Well, that idiot down the road was built for holiness. Yeah. You and me. To someone, I'm that idiot down the road, and I was built for holiness too. Loving your neighbor as yourself is like loving God. And on those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, when Jesus says all the law and the prophets, that was his Bible. Jesus was saying everything in Scripture hangs on this idea of loving God and loving each other. Pretty simple, right? Pretty simple stuff. I've learned when it's simple, you got to look for the hard. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You know, sometimes it's harder than loving a complete stranger. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. Reprove. Reprove comes from a pretty ancient Hebrew root. And the word in Hebrew is be right. You shall be right with your neighbor. Get right with your neighbor. Love sometimes involves confessing to your neighbor a wrongdoing or confronting your neighbor with a wrongdoing. So loving your neighbor as yourself isn't what they call sloppy agape. Agape love, brotherly love. It's not just a matter of loving, but it's a matter of aspiring to have that person reach for holiness too. And so it is that if you see a neighbor really messing up, it's your job to reach out and say, hey, I think you're really messing up. If you see a neighbor in real deep trouble, it's your job to say, hey, I see you in trouble, let me help. Now, we in this church have a pretty good history, including recent history, of reaching out to people messing up and saying, hey, stop messing up. We love you. Come back. And we also have a pretty good history of confessing to others when we've messed up. We do all right with that. Congratulations. Everyone pat yourself on the back. Go ahead. If the arthritis isn't too tough this morning. But the problem is, some of us fall in love with rebuking and forget about the other part of loving a neighbor. We can be so sure that the other is wrong that we forget about all that God put right inside them. And it takes energy. It takes energy. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, your everything. Give God everything you got. And love your neighbor as yourself. There's a reason why it goes in that order. We first of all give God everything we've got. And that makes it possible for us to love our neighbor as ourselves. We give God everything we've got, and God improves us. Little old us. And then we're able to share. Now, it seems a Christian strategy to define who we are by what we're not. It seems a Christian strategy to decide who is just too far outside and too far beyond the pale to bring in. It's not a good strategy. It's not a good strategy. It's not a good idea to stop talking to your neighbor just because they ticked you off. Because when you stop talking to your neighbor, you start to fail to understand their situation, where they are, and they stop hearing wisdom from you. It's not a good idea to stop talking to your spouse, is it? Any of you ever gotten so angry with your spouse that you went like a day without even saying a word to them? Did it do you any good? Did it do your relationship any good? Well, in some cases, maybe it did, if that's a good strategy for you. But in most cases, shutting down the dialogue is the last thing you want to do. If you want to love your neighbor, first of all, recognize, as it tells us in Leviticus, that there is a spark of the holy in that person that only that person has. And your job is not to snuff out your relationship, but encourage the ember of holiness to come to flame. And if you're going to eliminate people from your circle of friends, if you're going to decide which neighbors you will love and which you won't, then you're not going to be part of kindling that spark of holiness into something that shines brightly. It is so vitally important that we listen to Jesus when he says that everything written in Scripture comes down to this: love God, love everybody else. Everybody else. Everybody else. Love God, love everybody else. Living God. Engineer, engineer, engineer. End of sermon. Now, we're going to be out of here about 10 minutes early today, and you know why I did that? That's 10 minutes when you're going to be able to love someone you've withheld love from. It's 10 minutes today, Sunday, 10 minutes today. That's enough time for a phone call to someone you haven't talked to in years because you couldn't get around what they were doing. That's 10 minutes of quietly praying for someone that you never got the chance to repair a relationship with. That's 10 minutes of sitting by yourself and figuring it out. I almost put a quote in the bulletin. It was something my daughter said this week. She said, the first step toward a healthy self-esteem is getting over yourself. Isn't that great? The first step toward a healthy relationship with God is getting over yourself. The first step toward holiness is letting God lead. Remember, God created you holy, and God created you to love your neighbor. So with the 10 minutes we're going to have left, well, maybe it'll be 5 now. I want you to go out and love at least one person in your life that you've withheld your love from. And just wait and see what God will do. Amen.